Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the sports betting network. Mitch Moss, along with I have the need for Swede, Dustin Swedelson on the program this week for vacationing Pauly Howard. And we have a three-hour banger lined up for you today. You have seen The Odyssey.
I have.
We will talk about it from a betting standpoint coming up bottom of the hour. Richard Roper is going to join the program. I have not seen it yet. On vacation last week, a two-year-old as well. Borderline impossible I can get out in the next month to watch this movie.
Yeah.
It's, what, 3 hours?
It's 2:45 actual action. I know that because I started a stopwatch.
I do that sometimes.
Because I knew I'd need a bathroom break.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to time it out because, you know, the last hour of a three-hour movie is going to be great. So when I thought there was about an hour to go, I got up and went to the restroom so I'd be good to go. I missed 3 minutes of the plot. But at this point, it's a 27-year-old script. I kind of know where it's going.
Yeah, 2,700-year-old
yeah,
script.
Yeah.
So Richard's going to join the program. You can bet the stuff right now, obviously. Do we just lock it up? Like, who's going to beat The Odyssey for Best Picture? Is it? Well, you have some doubts about it, though, huh?
Okay, so I think it's going to win because it's a spectacle. I think the way it looks, the shots, you feel like you're on this journey with Odysseus. But there's certainly some blind spots. The question I want to ask Roper is, when we bet on awards for the NFL, for MVP, we're handicapping the voters. What are the voters like? What are they looking for? Because I think if they're really artsy people and they believe in dialogue and the script and telling the story, they might have doubts about The Odyssey.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so I've heard. Also on the program, Jensen Lewis, Major League Baseball. He's been on fire with his picks, VSiN.com, and also VSiN by the books. The morning show here on the network. And Brett Ciancia is going to join the program. Pick Six college football previews coming up in a couple of hours on the show. We'll get into your Heisman bets, how many teams we think can win it this year in college football. I think my list is shorter than yours.
Probably.
With that list. And also, okay, so with that, with awards, and we'll talk, begin the show with a little Major League Baseball here. First of all, the Red Sox, this is ridiculous, 17-3 this month.
When you left for vacation, what were they at that point?
Not close to what they are right now.
Yeah.
They were blazing hot, obviously, before the break. It has continued. 7.5 out of the American League East, currently the second wild card team. The Brewers are 14-8 this month. That's the team that I have a bet on. JVT, earlier, like two episodes ago on Pot of the Futures, you were in last week, he said, yeah, hey, take a peek at the Red Sox 6-1. To make the playoffs, and Gil has them 80-1
for
80-1.
80-1. You hit that one; it pays for a lot of mistakes.
That's an unbelievable ticket from Gil.
Also, what the heck was he seeing in this team that completely underachieved? Now, I think if we're going to correlate this to the futures market, which you and I love messing with, how is Chad Tracy not your manager of the year?
Yeah.
This team was left for dead
in the American League,
and he's doing it, by the way, without Garrett Crochet, his Cy Young contender. Roman Anthony, who people thought was going to be an MVP candidate. He's doing it without those guys.
That's very true.
I don't know if I buy Boston big picture, but I don't know if I buy anyone in the American
League.
Well,
that's
big
the thing, right? Is that I think you kind of, now all the big numbers are gone, obviously, on this team, but you kind of have to buy them because right now we're watching. If I hear more people make the case, just be patient. It's going to be the Mariners' year. It's not the Mariners' year. Maybe the team that they're getting pounded by today, the Rangers, maybe it's their year.
Maybe.
Again. But again, in the American League, there isn't really a single team that I can trust. And I was going to say fully trust. Forget about that. Like halfway trust. I'm not even there.
I'm done with the Mariners. I have them a little bit from the preseason. I have had them, I think, the last 3 years to win the World Series. At some point, you just go, you know what? You're never going to get it done. How does Jerry DePoto keep a job when it's the same storyline every year with Seattle? Hey, the pitching's great if they can find some offense. Hey, the pitching's great. Maybe they'll find a bat along the way. They found a couple bats last year. They brought in Suarez, who might be on the market again out of Cincinnati. They brought in Naylor, who they kept this year. They still can't hit. And oh, by the way, Gilbert, Wu, this whole rotation, I think they are so overrated, man. When one is hot, the rest of them aren't. One of them picks it up. The others fall back. Today, I back Seattle and George Kirby. And this is a spot where he's so good. Lifetime against Texas. An absolute dud. They're losing 7-2.
Well, the Yerfeet today was +130 in that neighborhood. And, of course, Jock Peterson hit his first of multiple home runs in this game today off of George Kirby. I think last year was the year for Seattle.
I think you're right.
Looking back now, that could be a little Captain Obvious here. But they had They had all of it coming together last year. Like, all of those pitchers were performing at almost a peak level. Gilbert was awesome. Kirby was really, really good. You had Brian Wu, who would give you six innings every single start, right? Munoz was awesome, automatic out of the bullpen. Yeah. And then they made all those big moves at the deadline, and it was working, and they had the Blue Jays dead to rights to go to the World Series, and it flopped. And now I'm kind of wondering, like, are we seeing the truer colors from this pitching staff? And maybe it was last year kind of like the outlier where they were all so good kind of simultaneously.
Yeah, no, I think we've seen it. And I think they're going about this completely wrong. The rumor is they're shopping Emerson Hancock, who they've turned into like a swing man, into a legitimate starter.
For sure.
I don't know if he's an ace. I don't think he keeps this up. He certainly, if you're a playoff team, if he's your fourth or fifth starter, you're fine. You're okay. You're probably on the better side. Why are they shopping the worst of the pitchers? Sell high on one of these bums you keep in the rotation that you're going to have to pay more down the road.
Yeah, you will.
You're a cheap team. Why would you not operate from a strength? Because you need an everyday player. You can't have a guy every fifth day being so impactful on this roster. Get rid of one of these starters, turn it into an impact bat, and make this happen offensively. That division's horrible. I in my brain, I'm already thinking Houston might add its two starting pitchers.
Maybe.
And they might win this division.
Yeah, they could. They could. I mean, by default, kind of, right? Also, last year, we all kind of expected regression this year from Cal Raleigh. It was the most obvious thing that you're ever going to get, but not like this.
You saw the quote?
No.
Oh, he was asked yesterday, are his struggles related to being benched in the WBC? And he's like, well, you know, not to make excuses, but I didn't get a lot of at-bats because I was benched in the WBC, which means I didn't get more at-bats in spring training and coming to the year, but I'm not making excuses. He literally just made excuses after saying he wasn't going to make excuses.
Wow, and this weekend is August. And that really is going to have an impact on the entire year for him, huh? Okay, sure.
Yeah, it's as if there weren't hundreds of at-bats since then to get up to speed.
No kidding. So I think this is kind of like the Eastern Conference right now in the NBA. You're kind of throwing darts right now with the way that they've, but kind of the numbers have been molded into place. Like, would you take the Tigers?
Okay.
Is that the team?
I'm glad you brought it up. I've been so wrong about so many teams. Preseason Orioles, I still thought they could figure it out. Not enough pitching. Detroit, I have been very bullish on lately. They're not making me look good. You can't lose 2 or 3 to Kansas City over the weekend like they did. If they're going to do this before the deadline to hold on to Skubal, they've got to win these series that they're supposed to win. True. That is my concern about them. Skubal looks awesome. I think Detroit is making a mistake if they don't trade him, but I don't think they're going to trade him. I think they're desperate. I think they believe with him healthy, they have a chance. To me, if you're throwing a dart, that is the dart throw, because 22-1 to win the American League, it was 28-1 about 10 days ago. You set up a series, Mitch. You can set up Skubal 3 times in one series. You're better than the other pitcher on the other side almost every sure. matchup you have.
It's almost, this is the second time in 3 years this might happen with Detroit, because there was, and I will not forget this, because Paulie and I were doing mornings. There was a Sunday night game, and I had tickets on Emmanuel Class A at the time to win the American League Cy Young.
Yep.
And Hinch came out after the game on Sunday Night Baseball and said that we're thinking about shutting down Skubal. It was like the middle of August, right? I'm like, okay, if they're going to shut him down, Class A can actually pull this off, and I'm going to win so much money, it's going to be ridiculous on him.
Yeah.
That never happened. They got scorching hot. They kept pitching Skubal, and they made a run in the playoffs. And now, does that same thing happen to where it could be actually a longer-lasting impact long-term for this team, meaning that they had it all lined up, they were in the tank for the most of the year, they knew that they were going to trade Skubal at the deadline, and now all of a sudden they're warming up again in a league that can be had? And if they say, we kind of need to pivot here, boys, and keep this guy, why not us this year?
They have the 21st schedule remaining in terms of strength.
Well,
here's the problem. It's because they play in the Central. Minnesota's 25th. Kansas City's 26th. Cleveland is 30th. That's them beating up on each other. I think the division is as right there with the to make the playoffs. I think they have a chance to still win this division because no one's running away with it. This is a desperate organization. This is the one last gasp for hope in this run with Skubal, because he's gone once he hits free agency here. I understand and I respect wanting to be all in, but if you're a GM, the way you keep your job is you build for the future, you make this team relevant for a long time. Look at James Wood and CJ Abrams, part of the Juan Soto package, what they're doing for Washington right now. Detroit's got to look at that and go, hold on, we got to do the smart thing here.
Yep. You can't pull in Ohtani with the Angels.
Junior Caminero.
Can't do that, yep. Yep, same thing. Okay, so let's get down to brass tacks here. The National League MVP race, I think, appears to be wide open. And I cannot believe those words came out of my mouth.
I don't understand the pricing of Shohei Ohtani still.
There's one book here in town that has him at minus 700.
How?
I think they just haven't adjusted yet.
It's just because the pitching, because he shows up in pitches, and he was great, don't get me wrong, but he's not pitching the rest of the way. his offensive numbers are not that different than the rest of the pack.
So, okay, if do you really think that he's not going to pitch the rest of the way?
I think sparingly, but is that if he pitches five more times the rest of the way, is that enough for him to win the award just because he pitches and hits?
PCA for the Cubs is one of three players since 2010 to have an F war of 7 or higher on June 25th or earlier. Trout did it in 2018, Aaron Judge in 2025. PCA is the third player to do that. Plus, defensively, he's elite. He's the best defensive player in the entire league. And he has, this is going back the last 45 games. When you look at his overall numbers, a batting average of 358, on base 467, slugging 728 with 16 home runs, 13 RBIs. I checked that, 13 stolen bases and an OPS of 1,200. He's the first player in history to get all of those marks in a 45-game span in any single regular season.
I have no exposure to the guy. I think he should be the favorite. I genuinely believe that. I think the numbers are that great. And I did a little project where I said, all right, let me ask AI, what's the 162-game projection on these guys the rest of the way? PCA is having a better year than Ohtani. So comparatively, Ohtani 286, 38 homers, 104 ribbies, 113 runs, 10 steals. PCA, his average is about the same. OPS is higher. Two more homers, one more ribby, 9 more runs, and 18 more steals.
It's absolutely this hot streak that he is on. Along with, by the way, a couple of other players. We'll expand on this coming up. Because if Ohtani doesn't pitch the rest of the way, I don't think he's going to win the award.
I agree.
So then, but now the number on PCA is it's toast. You can't bet on that right now. I think there are a couple of other guys to maybe take a peek at. And in the NFL, by the way, it appears to be fairly serious with Aaron Donald. We'll look at this. I love the Rams team this year. Who doesn't? But I hate it when this happens as a bettor. I'll explain coming up next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. We'll get to the Rams, Sean McVay, Aaron Donald coming up in a few minutes. Will he actually come back and play this year? The Rams number keeps plummeting. Favorites to win the Super Bowl this year, but to put a bow on this whole NL MVP discussion, you did run all these numbers to project like season long, full 2026 forecast for these players. You put in Ohtani at the plate because we don't know if he's going to pitch again.
Sure.
You put in the PCA numbers that you talked about and two other play, well, three basically, but two from the same team. I think you have to take them seriously by now if you're not, because the Nationals could be a playoff team. They're above 500, and the way James Wood and CJ Abrams have been raking, if Ohtani doesn't pitch, their numbers are so good. Like, could they actually be worth a bet this morning to win this award?
Yeah, I don't think it's crazy. When I went on Pod to the Futures with you and JVT, you threw out James Wood as if we were thinking outside the top of the board, that's the name. He was 55-1 then. I remember saying, yeah, that's the bet. I just don't know if we should do it or not. Well, it's been cut almost in half. He's down to 28-1. I think people need to take notice. This isn't a fluke. He's building on last year. He is going to wind up being one of the five best hitters in baseball. Maybe the top three right now in baseball. He is that dangerous. But the surge from CJ Abrams recently is insane because he's been up for a while. We've never seen him look like this. And according to what I have in the projections with AI here, he's projected to hit just under 300. That would be the best average of the group here. And I think average is a nice delineator from who's having an elite season versus some others. 921 OPS, 44 homers, 28 steals.
It's insane.
129 ribbies and 118 runs. Guys, this is a shortstop. That is an all-time season for a shortstop. There's talk that Washington may be shopping him. I don't buy that.
Ridiculous.
Why would you not build your entire organization around these two dudes in the middle of your order? Well, I guess Wood's a leadoff guy. But could you imagine if Washington bought some pitching at the deadline?
Sure.
They would be a wild card team.
Imagine if they had a respectable bullpen this year.
You don't even need the elite.
No. Just I'm talking about like average bullpen.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
They almost blew the game again yesterday.
They The best is when you're live betting and watching a Nats game and you have a bet on the Nats to take the other team at a plus price, because there's a good chance that bullpen's going to cough it up.
Take the over in their games. The over. Got there again yesterday live.
Plus one and a half, plus two and a half, whatever it is.
Yep. So again, this goes back to before the games yesterday when he was blazing hot, hit two more home runs. But since the break, he leads Major League Baseball in OPS, home runs, RBIs, and had more home runs than seven teams. Seven teams overall since the break yesterday. So I took a little 150-1 today on him.
I joined you at 125, I believe.
But I also, I brought this up on the air when I bet it. There was an outlier on PCA. I'll go back and check the date. I have 80-1 on him. And I said
You have to take these shots.
Well, I got to corner the market now in case Ohtani doesn't win the award. So PCA, I'm building around that 80-1. Took some Abrams. I have the Wood at like 50. And then thanks to our buddy Weston who sent us this today.
Yeah.
On X. Great breakdown. The Miz was available at 200-1.
I jumped in. I didn't get 200, though. I think I got 150.
150, yeah.
Yeah. I think it makes sense. Preseason, I bet Paul Skene's 40-1 for MVP. And the case was, what are the Pirates without him? And if he has a historic season, he could win both Cy Young and MVP. I don't think this is crazy here for Mizorowski to be in the mix. This is Randy Johnson meets Tim Lincecum in
kind
the prime.
Yeah, and if he compares favorably to Verlander and Kershaw at the end of the year when they won MVPs, maybe. Just if Ohtani, again, here's the whole key. If Ohtani doesn't pitch again, this thing could become way more open than what we thought.
You have such a big number on PCA, though. At minus 250 in Ohtani, is that palatable here to get down something? Or no, you're going to wait it out?
I got to wait. I want to wait because if it comes back to like even money at some point, then I might hop in.
But what if it goes up to like 7-1 again?
Well, which could happen. Which could easily happen, and then I might be out. And it's actually a great discussion. I don't know when to hop in with Ohtani.
Because at minus 250, you can do with a future, and he's the favorite, and you have almost everyone else cornered here. Like I have Schwarber 43-1. It's not going to happen.
I don't think he's winning.
When I bet Schwarber, it's because he was on a heater. And I was like, oh, well, if he hits 65 homers, right? He hits 70, something like that. That's what you're looking for, a historic season. I had a little boost on it to make it 43-1. I don't think he's a legitimate candidate here. I think that Ohtani at minus 250, because you have PCA, you have Wood, you have huge numbers on everyone else. I don't hate the idea of laying the 250.
So if you don't have any of those numbers, though, and you obviously don't want to get in on Ohtani at this point, because it's way too big of a question mark. Look, shop around today. See what we can find. I would take a little bit of a dart throw on CJ Abrams. And if you can find Miz at 150 still, why not?
If Washington makes the playoffs, the narrative on Abrams will be there that he got hot. He surged them into a wild card spot again, helped them solidify it. The only concern I always have is him and Wood taking votes away from each other.
That
from
could
the
happen.
Same team.
That could happen.
But you know what? We've had years where Ohtani's won it and Freddie Freeman's up there with him.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be different with them?
Sure. And by the way, I think maybe this year, the way that voters could look at this, if Ohtani does not pitch, again, the key to the whole market is a little bit of voter fatigue, which I hate that, but it's natural. It happens now all the time.
It's either happening this year or next year.
Yep. And the other thing is, if you take him off the Dodgers, where are they at in the standings?
They're still
a runaway train in that division.
Yeah, come on.
Like if you take PCA off the Cubs, where are they at?
Well,
can you say the same thing about the Nationals?
Oh, the Nationals are the worst team in baseball with one of those guys not there.
They might be, I guess. You think so?
Yeah, without one of them. Without both of them, definitely. But without one of them, they're probably one of the worst teams in baseball.
Well, no, both. Forget it. They have no chance. We're talking White Sox from last year.
But PCA, if you build the narrative,
or
right?
Rockies, so, I mean, sorry.
Yeah, so much of it is the narrative building, right? For PCA, can we build the case that this is a guy playing center field, demanding position, right? That's where he makes a big impact as well. But also, how about the injuries they've had to the rotation?
Oh.
He has had to be so special offensively because they're trotting out the corpse of Jameson Taillon every fifth day. Horton's gone. Steele hasn't pitched. Cabrera's been hurt. This team has been absolutely demolished by injuries to their arms. That makes PCA even that more impressive because he's needed to lift this offense.
I'll give you another guy, Brown.
Yep.
Been on the IL seemingly for a month now, who was pitching really well for this team. Okay, so there you go. I would take a peek again at those numbers today.
I'd go long.
Yeah, why not?
Go long.
Yeah, PCA is unbettable, by the way.
You can't bet them. There's too much that can go wrong. There's too much time for too much to go wrong.
Yep. Okay, so do you have anything on the Rams in the future market this year?
I don't. I want to, but it's always concerning when you're betting at the top of the board, tying up your money for this long.
I know. This is what I hate as a bettor. I hate it when I'm 1 year ahead of things.
I was on them last year
at 30-1. Was one of my biggest Super Bowl bets of all time. Yeah. 30-1. and the way that they pissed away that season will be leave a bad taste in my mouth for a long, long time. I can't bet 5-1 or 6-1 on a team to win the Super Bowl.
I know, but there's a level of FOMO, right? Where you're saying I don't want to be a year too early and then finish the job, because it's easier to keep riding what you believed in that was close than it is to find the next 30-1 out there.
I know. This is my Oklahoma City bet from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So the year before they won it, then they were the one seed, had them, I mean, to the moon, right? To win everything.
So what you're saying is we should bet the Jazz this year and next year.
And next year, probably. Yeah. But the Rams are the best team in football, period.
It's not even, if they had any holes, which they really didn't last year.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
They stole Kansas City's top two corners.
Yeah. So
not only did they make themselves better, they hurt one of their potential opponents in the Super Bowl. And then the upgrade to Myles Garrett, Jared Verse is nice. He's a good player. He's a really good. He's not great, but he's borderline on that level with the upside. Myles Garrett had Cleveland competitive with no business being competitive with that offense.
Yeah. There's also, I did hate the first round pick at Ty Simpson.
Well, this makes it even worse to me.
That drove me insane. I could not understand that.
Why would that not be Mekhi Lemon when you have questions about Nakua? Davante Adams is older. And if you're all in on this year, be all in on this year. You can't be one foot in, one foot out, building for the future. Because if you're going to do it, you don't do it for a Ty Simpson. You do it for a special talent out there with a big arm and big ability.
Yeah.
I just think Mekhi Lemon was such a good pick for what they needed as the third option in this offense.
And then what's going to happen if Aaron Donald comes back? I'm sure their numbers will move a little bit more. Here's their head coach, Sean McVay, talking about this possibility.
And then I'm sure everybody's wondering about Aaron. He is going through his process, and he is putting himself in a position to make a decision. And he's earned the right to be able to do that. And for those of you guys that do know Aaron, he's very diligent. Anything that he does all in. And so he's going through a very strict regimen and process that was similar to what he did when he played. See how his body responds and feels. And then we've had some things that we'll just kind of, check up on each other, and then we'll see when we have more information whether or not we're going to give it a go or whether or not he's going to continue to enjoy what he's been doing for the last couple years. But if that is something that he wants to do, we are going to, try to be able to make that happen. And so, but I genuinely do not have an answer on whether he is or isn't. I know he's preparing himself to be able to make that decision. And if he feels good, then you guys know he's going to be ready to rock. But if not, he's earned the right. He doesn't owe us anything. And he's a special person. You guys know what he means to me.
I think if he does come back, the Rams number will move even down a little bit more.
Right? Oh, yeah. I mean, we're talking 4-1.
I don't think I'll get that low,
Yeah.
Maybe some books go to plus 450 on him, something like that. But
This from our friend Ben Fox. Over the past 30 years, the preseason Super Bowl favorites only won the Super Bowl four times. Colts 06, Patriots 16-18, Chiefs in 23.
See, that's why I'm not going to go after it.
Can't do it.
Just not.
Can't do it.
All right, Richard Roper on the program coming up next. There has been a dip, by the way, prediction markets in the Odyssey's chances to win best pitcher next year. I got to ask him, is this stealing money? And if not, which movie could actually take the award from the Odyssey? We'll ask him coming up next year on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
I feel like the Odyssey, the way it has been pumped into our veins from social media and TV and previews and how Nolan and all the actors have been all over, it's got to be one of the biggest blockbusters of all time. And we'll expand on that here. Mitch Moss along with Dustin Sweetelson, as Richard Roper, kind enough to join the program, longtime friend of the show. His podcast is called The Movie of Your Life with Richard Roper, which is a great title for a podcast. And he is on the Progressive guest line. Richard, been a long time. Thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Oh, so good to talk to my old friend Mitch. Dustin, good to talk to you as well. How are we doing, guys?
Doing really well. So overall, when you were sitting there the first time in the theater and watching The Odyssey, give or take, 10 days ago, a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was, your thought process going on as you were watching the movie unfold and then when it was over with?
Great question. You know, I actually got a chance to go out to New York and interview Christopher Nolan. So, of course, before the interview, I got to see the movie. So I saw it at the Lincoln Square IMAX, which is probably one of the 10 biggest in the world, guys. And there was maybe 15 of us in the screening room in the theater, you know, because it wasn't yet opening to the public. And it just enveloped me, you know. And, you know, here's the thing. There's so much hype about, you know, the first feature film shot entirely on IMAX, and that's incredible. But if that was it, then after 15 minutes, that kind of wears off. You know, you're watching a movie. It's like, remember the 3D movies were such a big deal, but after a while, you're like, okay, it has to have a story. It has to have great emotional weight, amazing performances, take some big swings that I know might not work for everybody, but, you know, the material itself is kind of crazy. I thought it succeeded on all those counts.
Now, Richard, I went and saw the movie last week. It's a spectacle, right? You get immersed in it. You feel like you're on this adventure with Odysseus, but there are detractors out there that have some issues with the dialogue and the script, and then some people I don't necessarily agree with the casting in some regards. How big of a role do you think that is in the people who vote for this? Like, help us understand the people who vote for this and if they will care about some of those details that people are bringing up as complaints.
You know, that's the thing. You got to remember the Academy Awards, and they've expanded the Academy membership. It's about 11,000 people now, but these are professionals in the business, and they're already starting Academy screenings where they can see it in Los Angeles in the screening rooms. And what my sources are telling me, that people are blown away by it, people in the industry, because they do look for, you know, the technical expertise, the big leaps of faith that you have to take. And yeah, you know, listen, you don't want a literal adaptation of Homer's The Odyssey. You fell asleep when you were in junior in college when you had some professor trying to take you through that. So what I like, guys, is actually, you know, this is a story with Cyclops monsters and a sorceress who can turn men into pigs and weather gods, you know. So what I loved about it is that Christopher Nolan actually made all of that accessible, because it's really the story. It's a modern story. It's a guy in a midlife crisis who's trying to get home to his wife and son. That's what it comes down to, who's realized the errors of his ways, who never should have maybe gone on this journey, has run into all kinds of trouble, is not maybe the great leader he thought he was, and now just wants to get home. And that's what this story is.
Okay, well said. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Richard Roper, our guest on the Progressive Guest Line. From a betting standpoint, Richard, and this yesterday at Kelce, The Odyssey was 55% to take home Best Picture for this year. I get it. It's very early. You have to wait until like March to win this bet. Today it's at 49%, so it has ticked down a little bit. My question to you would be, do we lock up money on the yes with this picture right now, or do you think there's actually a film in the next 5 months that can steal the award from it?
Well, you know, you look at it like when, you know, you guys, like, let's say there's a big golf tournament coming up, right? And, you know, Scottie Scheffler's the favorite, but even he's maybe 6-1 or 8-1 going into the tournament because there are 100 golfers, right? And same thing with the Oscars. So something that's close to 50% is actually a huge favorite. I would actually advise waiting a little bit, because those numbers might come down where it's at 39%, 42%, just because another picture will be getting 16%, another picture will be getting 34%, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, there are some films coming out, and sometimes they come out of nowhere in the fall. And the other thing is, you know, I'm starting to see this myself. When The Odyssey came out, it had almost 100% of Rotten Tomatoes, almost 100% on IMDb and all that stuff. I was at a party the other night, a reception, and a guy comes up to me. He was almost angry about my review of The Odyssey. How could you give it 4 stars out of 4? It's a 3-star movie. I like Interstellar. And I was like, first of all, dude, settle down. We're at a wedding reception. So, you know, I said, it's just my opinion. And I told him, I said, your opinion's valid too. You know, everybody has their own take. But you guys know, same thing happens in sports. If someone becomes universally loved, then it's time to take them and knock them off the pedestal. So now we're starting to see a couple of pieces. You know, you're going to see some contrarians. I think it's the most overrated movie of the decade. I can't stand the American accents. It should be the Greek actors. You know, Nolan doesn't have any heart. All these kind of, you know, conventional, easy, you know, it's easy to make the counter arguments. So I would say wait a little bit before placing a bet.
Where do you put it in the rankings for Christopher Nolan? Obviously, he won for Oppenheimer just a few years ago. Dark Knight's in there, Inception. I still stand by The Prestige. I know that was a long time ago. That's my favorite. Where would you rank The Odyssey among the Nolan films?
The Prestige is so good. So good if people haven't seen it. The way, if you watch it, it's one of those movies like Usual Suspects or Sixth Sense. When you watch it the second or third time and you know what's going to happen,
more
it almost
brilliant.
Makes it better. Because yeah. you see how they lay the little crumbs down. The Prestige, very early on, they pretty much tell you what's going on without telling you, as they do with The Sixth Sense. As they do in the opening scene of The Usual Suspects is Gabriel Byrne on his knees looking up at a killer. But we're like, is that the reality or not? So I love that you mentioned The Prestige. You know, it's interesting because we talk about the greatest Nolan film, I would say, is either Oppenheimer or The Odyssey. My favorite. And the difference to me is how many times are you going to watch it over and over again? Am I going to watch The Odyssey 20 times over the next 10 years? No. My favorite is The Dark Knight. Mm. That's my go-to. Yeah. If you said, hey, tonight you're having a bunch of friends over or you're going to a screening room, you're going to have a get-together and you're going to see that's the movie I'd say, let's all watch The Dark Knight together.
Yep, totally agree. It's absolutely stellar. In terms of overall movie experiences, and you've seen... I think you told us before, what is it, more than 10,000, whatever that number is for movies? Where would you rank The Odyssey in terms of the overall movie experience?
See, that's a great question, too, because, you think about when you first see a movie, and for me, of course, I'm lucky enough to see them in advance in screenings and screening rooms going back to the late 80s. And there are certain memorable moments, like I remember seeing Do the Right Thing and thinking, this is special and this is going to start a conversation. It's a great movie, but it had that effect. It certainly was the case with Pulp Fiction. You know, I knew Quentin Tarantino's work from him writing A True Romance and doing Reservoir Dogs, but Pulp Fiction, the first half hour, and you're like, wait a minute, now we're going back in time. Wait, this is bending this way. And Saving Private Ryan, the first 20 minutes, when I saw that on a big screen, I thought, well, here come the Oscars. So I would put The Odyssey up there among those experiences, top 10 in terms of a screening where I'm saying, we're going to be talking about this movie 25 years from now. Sometimes you see a great film, but are you really going to be talking about it 25 years from now, 30 years from now? And that, so I it's one of my favorite all-time viewing experiences.
I think it's very important. You mentioned seeing it on the big screen. I made the mistake. I saw Oppenheimer at home. I didn't get it. I didn't have the feel. The Odyssey absolutely has to be seen in a theater. Before we let you go there, Richard, I am one of these contrarians that is obsessed with Project Hail Mary. I don't believe it has a chance to win it, even though I think it is the feel-good movie of the year. What are your thoughts of what they did in, a script that's been around for a while? I went in being like, hold on, the dude's in space with a rock alien. How am I going to fall in love with the movie? But I was emotional on an airplane watching it by the time it was over.
I was too. I love that movie. If there was an audience choice award, I think it would win it. I think it's amazing this year. Some of the most likable and my favorite characters in movies have been the sheep in The Sheep Detectives and the Rocky character in Rocky. These inanimate, non-human, but wonderfully human personalities. I love Project Hail Mary. That's in my top five of movies seen this year.
Okay. Is there a movie or a TV show or multiple TV shows that you would recommend right now to the audience that we absolutely have to watch for the remainder of the summer?
Here's a series that I think is a little under the radar, and I think you guys and your audience will like. It's called The Westies. It's on MGM Plus, which not everybody gets. It's got J.K. Simmons, and it's about the Irish gang in the 1980s that went up against John Gotti and the Italian Mafia. And they are outnumbered 200-1, and they still gave him a run for their money. It's called The Westies.
Oh, that sounds
incredible. Have I never heard of this?
Yeah, no
kidding. This is awesome. J.K. Simmons rules.
Yeah, he's as good as it gets. Follow him on X at Richard E. Roper. The podcast is called The Movie of Your Life with Richard Roper. Pleasure as always, my friend. Thanks for the time today. We appreciate that.
Let's not go too long before talking again, guys.
Back at you.
Awesome.
There you go, on the Progressive Guest Line.
Take care.
The Odyssey, you got to see it, Mitch, because here's why you got to see it. I was peer pressured by your partner. Paulie would not shut up. He was doing three full, every segment was another Odyssey take. I was like, all right, I'm filling in for you. I got to go see this movie or else I'm not going to know what he's talking about.
Yeah, he gets like that when he likes something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wrote down a couple of movies. Not best movies I've ever seen.
Experience
overall.
Ooh.
He brought up one, and it's one of the best movies. Saving Private Ryan at the theater was, because old grizzled men, gray bearded men who fought in wars left, and it felt like leaving a funeral. And the other one, again, I'm not calling it the best movie, Avatar 3D in the theater.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Wow. The new one or the original?
No, the new one. I don't even know. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
the original.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get into some best bets today. Major League Baseball coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have you aboard here on a Monday. Mitch Moss along with Dusty Sweetelson, as JJ called you a couple weeks back. In for Pauly today. Pauly on vacation before the football season gets closer and closer. You like that nickname?
My whole family calls me Dusty. But
it's not really a nickname, right? It's just like,
yeah, it's just like the everyone in New York does this. They shorten everyone's name. Or they add a Y to it if it's shorter.
Right? Oh, sure, like baseball, like, yeah.
You're Mitchy, I'm Mitchy. Dusty. Paul is Pauly already, right. But that's what they do. It's always some way of like a variation of a first name. They think they're super creative doing it.
Of course, yeah.
And I love JJ, by the way.
For me, it was always just my last name growing up.
Moss, yeah.
Or Mossy. Oh, some people say Mossy.
See, my last name was problematic. It led to a lot of phallic things being added to the back end instead of Sun.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of plays with that, unfortunately. Yeah,
I can see that. Yeah. My buddies and I, it doesn't matter who you were, you were only known as your last name.
Yeah.
It was like an unspoken rule that we referred to every single one of our friends by their last name.
Yeah, but were you friends with your brother's friends too sometimes that make it?
They were a little bit older than me.
See, I had that where I was older than my brother, but then I became friends with his friends too, and they called my brother Sweezy, so it became B. Sweezy and D. Sweezy.
Okay.
Which I liked.
That's not bad.
I was in for that. It made me sound a lot cooler than I was.
Dusty Sweezy?
Yeah, or D. Sweezy?
D. Sweezy. Okay, Major League Baseball. So, like, this thing seems too good to be true tonight almost, but there is like a caveat to it. Again, when it seems too easy, usually run the other way. I'm a little concerned about playing these teams on Sunday night baseball.
Yeah.
The next day,
yeah.
Much like the Phillies are tonight on the road in Miami. But here's the deal, right? Wheeler is going tonight for the Phillies, who we think has a chance to maybe win the National League Cy Young, but it's going to take the Miz, from pitching. He can't pitch again. He's got to shut it down.
What's funny is my initial reason for adding more to some of the tickets I have on Wheeler, I have them 50-1, I have 25-1, I either have 12 or 16-1 is the last one from a few weeks ago when he got snubbed for the All-Star game.
Oh, sure.
I was like, well, he's about to have a chip on his shoulder to prove everyone wrong. The Mizorowski angle was, the innings are going to be limited. That first start against the Mets in the second half, mm-hmm. It seemed right. Here's the problem. If he's only going to throw 5 innings and still get 11 strikeouts,
it's over.
He's still going to win the award.
Yes, that's correct.
It's just too much ground to make up. It's eye-popping historic stuff. He doesn't have to go deep in these games. And part of the concern was, and I thought it was rightfully so for Milwaukee, you have to get past the Dodgers this year. You need him 100% healthy to do that. That's why I thought they'd really limit him the rest of the way.
Totally agree. So yesterday, he struck out the first 7 batters he faced, 12 of the first 13. First pitcher since 1920 with 11 strikeouts, no hits allowed through 4 innings. More than 100 years of baseball in between starts like that from the Miz yesterday. So Wheeler's going tonight. Now, if you go back, his K's in order of appearance.
It's ridiculous.
This is Wheeler now.
Yeah.
9, 10, 14, 10. 5 was the outlier. 7 and 9. You can find 6.5. Pay some juice on that tonight. 7.5 is plus money. The Marlins have lost 12 straight. What a bizarre turn this has been. But here's the deal. They have lost 8 straight by 2-plus runs.
Ooh.
And 10 of 11 by 2-plus runs. So the bet that I'm talking about, that just Philly's run line, plus they're going to get the licks in the ninth inning, I have to have a taste of that, I think, tonight.
Yeah, yeah. I don't hate it. I just think Miami is in such a bad way, and it's completely snowballing. They've dipped under 500. Think about all the work they did last month to be like well above 500. Now they're a sub 500 team. I'm taking Wheeler ladders here. I bet over 6.5. I threw it up last night, VSiN.com/picks at -137. This morning, started thinking about it more. I was like, you know what? This dude is throwing with his hair on fire. He just struck out 9 against the Dodgers. Why can't he do that or more against the Marlins tonight, who are absolutely scuffling? Last 4 games for Wheeler, he's averaging 10.75 Ks per game.
Damn.
Against Miami this year, 6 shutout innings, 9 strikeouts June 15th. May 1st, 6 innings, 1 earned, 8 strikeouts. Last 13 starts for him going back to 2021, a 3.09 ERA against Miami, 89 Ks, 75 2/3. I'm going with over 6.5 -137. Over 7.5 is +111. 8.5 is +220. 9.5 is +410. I think we could probably get most of, if not all, those legs home tonight against Miami's offense that absolutely stinks. Wheeler also, by the way, 17-3 to the under since 2024 is a road favorite between -125 to -175.
Okay. And right now on the run line, by the way, he's -110 tonight.
It was plus +105 last night. So a little bit of movement there, which makes sense. I just... offensively, you have to imagine Philly's going to get to Tyler Phillips, right?
I would think so.
I mean, he doesn't go deep into games at all anymore.
No. My one hiccup would be they scored a ton of runs last night and played Sunday Night Baseball, like I said. So I bet this one overnight as well. I thought to myself, there's no way, no how the Red Sox, with Peyton Tolley going today against Perkins for the A's, how are they $1.55 in that game? I'm like, that needs to be closer to $2. So I don't do this very often in baseball. I laid $1.55 overnight with the Red Sox.
I don't hate it.
Up to $1.70. Again, 17-3 this month. Hottest team in Major League Baseball. The A's since June 20th, 6-23.
Crazy.
Since June 27th, they're 4-19. The Sox are 23-6-2 in the first five of their last 31 games. The A's are 4-16-2 in their last 22 in the first five. I mean, if I lose, I lose, and I pay the juice on it. I had to have a piece of the Red Sox today.
As the year goes on and, you know, we have clear contenders and teams that are building for the future, I think we have to start thinking about more lane big favorites, but more importantly, the run line. I'm not a big run line guy. It's just when I
hate it.
Started learning betting when I was with Patrick for all those years on Mad Dog. Patrick was like, I don't really do run lines. Sharp people told me, like, you don't really mess around with them too much. But I think at this point of the year, even though I don't do it often, you have to start considering it. This is a team left for dead in the A's. They've got no life anymore. No Rooker. Longoliers is out. Right? Kurtz was injured for a good chunk of time as well. They just have a weird vibe. So you mentioned it. The A's over the last month, how about this? 17-33, down 18 units. The A's at home, 20-30 straight up, down 15.8 units. I just isolated Tolley here, but I don't hate looking at Boston at -1.5. I went Tolley over 5.5 Ks. Athletics' third most strikeouts against southpaws this year. He's gone over 5.5 in three straight. He's also a guy who can rack him up pretty quickly in a game. And I think because he wants to avoid contact playing in Sacramento, he might be reaching back for a little bit extra oomph tonight.
Big guy, 6'4", like 250 pounds. Yeah. His delivery, I like watching him pitch.
He kind of looks like he's supposed to be a linebacker.
Maybe he's supposed to be leading the Patriots in tackles this year and not hovering around a 3 with the ERA for the Red Sox. But so, and I got 15 cents right now with CLV. I got to tell you, I think I might add more. I think that number should be at $2 minimum.
At the very least, the Red Sox team total, it's probably what, 6.5? At the very least, the Red Sox team total feels very, very live tonight.
Yes. So you noticed something during the break. And the aforementioned Jameson Taillon for the Cubs, designated for assignment within the last 15 minutes or so, right?
Yeah.
So there was a pitcher going today who the last time that he went, it was June 10th. And we thought, okay, that's probably going to be it. No more opportunities to bet against him. We are getting another opportunity tonight. It's Max Scherzer for the Blue Jays. And I have loved Max's entire career, but he's going up now against this Nationals offense that we talked about earlier this hour with Wood and Abrams. I think two guys maybe who could still somehow steal the National League Cy Young. Their team total is 2.5 in the first five.
Oh yeah.
I laid 25 cents with that. Yeah. Had to, right?
Oh yeah. Dude, James Wood might get you on the board inning one, because what Scherzer known for? Those first inning home runs.
That's right.
He did that in his prime. What do you think he's doing now? Here's why, like, for the game, I'm not thinking about Toronto. I don't hate or Washington. I'm saying I don't hate the idea of doing it. It's Scherzer is auditioning for one last ride on a playoff team. You might get good stuff out of him tonight, but Washington's going to score a few. They're not going to, and especially against the Blue Jays offense. I think Washington's offense comes to play.
And I also noticed this today, part of the daily handicap for baseball. Check out the numbers at vsin.com. When you click on, like, most profitable teams in baseball, you can break it down to first five innings as well. The Nats are the most profitable team in Major League Baseball in the first five all year long. The Blue Jays are the least profitable.
I love that angle.
So I did not play them first five, but I attacked it with the Nationals scoring more than 2.5 runs.
Yeah, I think that is feels like something that could definitely happen.
God, I want to do year fee. I want to do first three over, first five over.
Don't you get nervous when you feel that confident? 100%. It all goes wrong.
That's why I only have the one bet.
Yeah, none of them come through. Right. Hey, the sports calendar never stops. Sharp plays, they cover it all. They've been winning for 15 straight years. All of it documented. Logs posted publicly over at sharpplays.com. When the sharp plays moves, the sports books take notice. Advanced AI, trusted insider intel. They find value before the numbers shift. Respected, watched, feared. Start winning with them at sharpplays.com today.
Good stuff. Also, I looked at Amai going tonight for the Astros.
Weird guy.
Oh, dude.
Weird guy.
So he gets an Angels team that strikes out more than any other team in Major League Baseball. But if you go back and look, like, tonight, it feels juicy to me to bet his K-prop over. But in order, if you go back against this guy, he had 8 in his last start against Miami, 3 before that, that was right before the break against the Nats, 2 in the start before that against the Twins, and then the 2 starts before that in June, he had 11-10. All over the map with this guy.
His numbers are weird. So his ERA is actually way better on the road. It's still 4.33. Strikeouts are down on the road. I wonder if that left field porch messes with his head when he pitches at home at Minute Maid.
Oh, okay. I like the angle. Up next, we'll go over NFL awards, including the bet we like the most, along with a long shot. They are accompanied by some bold predictions in 2026. Next here on VSiN.